Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to The Soul Connection on Blog Talk Radio. It's spirituality simplified, conversations on conscious living, featuring your hosts, Bettina Goodwin and Eric Cerrone.
Well, hello, everybody. Hello, Bettina. How are you?
Hi, everyone. Hi, Eric. I'm doing great. Oh, my God, what a gorgeous day it is out there.
Oh, I'm glad you've enjoyed it. I've been kind of cooped up all day, so I'm about to head out there after the show, so I'm looking forward to it.
Great, because it's such a beautiful day, and we got our garden all finished off. Our back garden last week, so we've got more raised beds with vegetables in it, and it's just flourishing this year. It's been a really good year for gardens and stuff. So, you got to get some of that sunshine.
Absolutely. Were you out there in the garden today?
I was. I went out there this morning and picked some beans for dinner tonight. And I go out there every single day. Once the garden's planted for the season, I can't not go out there. I think I have to go out and check my garden, see how it's growing, see how the vegetables are doing, pull a few weeds, do what I have to do, the maintenance on the plants and stuff. And now we have this really nice little patio out there, where we can sit, and it's just lovely. We're spending way more time outside because it's just so inviting out there. So it's been really nice.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah, no, having seen it, I'm awfully impressed by the work that you guys put into it, and how bountiful your food output is from it. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, we save a lot of money over the summer on, and into the winter too, because I do a lot of preserving and freezing and saving stuff for over the winter. So it does save us a lot of money. And it's just, I was thinking this morning, this is the time of year when I feel abundance the most, because I'm out in the garden and I see how generous Mother Earth is when you nurture what you have, when you take the earth and you nurture it and you plant your seeds, and from that you see the abundance of your nurturing. And it's like life. If you plant your seeds and then nurture them and take care of them and honor them and treat them with love, what you get back from it is just so rewarding, and it just brings up this feeling of gratitude. And I go out in the garden and I can't help but feel that abundance, being very strong in me. And I just love it because it reminds me of that in other areas of my life as well, where I sometimes tend to forget about it.
Yeah, I think it's a great lesson. I mean, number one, just the way that it changes your perspective in a way, because sometimes we can get too wrapped up in just going to the store and, the earth is something to put roads on and all these things for our use. But it is quite amazing that literally the ground beneath our feet will produce everything that we need. It'll produce, not only if we go specifically into cucumbers and what have you, zucchinis, for us to eat directly, but it sprouts the life that other life forms eat. And then this whole food chain, it's just amazing. And it's just, we're just on this rock hurtling through outer space, and it's just provides everything, and it provides everything you need. And it's really quite amazing to shift your thoughts on, rather than I need to go grocery shopping, to realizing, it is really quite amazing how the whole thing operates, the whole planet, for that matter. It kind of puts you into a place of more gratitude I find in any minute that we spend in gratitude is a minute where our, you know, our energy and our light is brightest and lightest, and it's really quite amazing. Like you feel like you've been given this with no cost. You know, like it doesn't cost us anything, and the more that we take care of it, the more abundant it will be. Like you say, with planting your seeds and just, you know, watching them come up. And I think it's really neat the idea of getting up every day and going outside and seeing what's ready for you, like what the earth has made for you last night. And it's really quite amazing.
Yeah, definitely. It's such a great experience, and I think you know, grocery stores are great and farmers markets are great, but I think a lot of kids today have become out of touch with the source of their mm-hmm. food. And so having this garden, it just brings you closer to the source of your food and really makes you appreciate what goes into bringing that food to life and bringing it to the table. And there's nothing better than having that food go from garden to table. It's rewarding, it's delicious, it's nutritious, it's satisfying, it really is. Yeah, there's a little bit of work to it, but it's so worth it to say, look at what I've, you know, brought to fruition. So yeah, I really do love that part of the year.
Yeah, I mean, nothing can really be more of an organic process than just that, you know, planting and then taking care of the boxes and then, you know, taking it out and getting new seeds. And it's just amazing. It's just amazing. And it's all essentially free, you know, as long as you take care of it. And it's really quite amazing. It's so abundant. And it's, you know, I can totally understand how, you know, when you start talking about it and say you feel abundant, I mean, that's all it is. It's the whole energy around it. And I mean, what a great place to, you know, we always talk about lack and abundance as greater principles in spirituality and on this show. And, you know, not only can you get groceries and tangible things right from your backyard, but it'll help also keep our mindset in the mindset of abundance. And abundance leads to gratitude, and, you know, gratitude just leads to, you know, feeling happy about your life and feeling happy about the opportunity to live, which is
absolutely
sometimes a big struggle for us. When we struggle, it is because we lose sight of that. We lose the hold on that perspective of life, of how much of a gift it really is, when we get too caught up in the things that we need to be doing, or the things that we think we should be doing, or the things that we think we should be doing better or more of. You know, and that's not even just getting even further down the chain with, you know, playing dramas and stories in our heads and thinking about ways where our identity is threatened. And, you know, it's just this funny spectrum. And to do the things that reinforce the positive, the light, the wonderful, is really, it's a self-reinforcing process.
Definitely. Definitely so. It's a good life. You just have to see it as that.
Yeah, yeah. And then what magic life is, for that matter.
Yeah.
Well, you started off the show just talking about something so beautiful. And I wanted to take today's show, and I wanted to address the idea of an identity. And maybe on the other end of the spectrum, and sometimes it's something that we all struggle with. I know that I struggled mightily with the idea of an identity growing up. And it's not so much who am I. Well, I guess that would be the root of it, actually. But it was, you know, I say that thinking, well, I kind of knew, you know, I kind of knew myself pretty good as a kid, like what I liked doing and what I didn't like doing, and, you know, the way I kind of, you know, self-scorecarded myself. But really, it's really not knowing who I am. I was wrong in those things, and I was at a level too shallow, and it caused me to struggle a lot with the idea of putting out an identity that would be appropriate, that I would be happy having other people see. And, you know, it's a thing that I wanted to talk about today, because it's like when our identity isn't rooted in our being, it becomes a vulnerable and ever-needy mental construct. It's not even real. And it creates fear as a prominent underlying emotion because we just are always, we're always under threat of our identity that we're trying to project out into the world being chipped away at because our lies about ourselves aren't strong enough or other people can actually threaten our identity. And it's just, it's a fallacy. And it just has come up so often in conversation for me this week and talking with people and seeing situations. And it's a topic that I find that it's really important to come back to and identify what it is, our identity, in a way to carry it forward in a healthy way, as opposed to trying to prop it up and spending tremendous amounts of energy propping up a false identity.
Interesting topic. I think it's great because I think the whole identity thing can get us caught up in stuff that can really take us down and put us in that also lovely place of suffering. And for me, who I am is that loving presence that is experiencing this life from the perspective of the divine. The roles I have in my life, I'm a mother, I'm a life coach, I'm a teacher, I'm a wife, I'm a daughter, I'm a singer, I'm a baker, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other thing, are all roles that I play in this life that I'm experiencing through loving presence. When I start to get too attached to the roles that I'm playing, for instance, let's look at the role of mother because it's one of the best ones to use in this example. If I start looking and being attached to my role as a mother and the role I play as a mother to my children, and the feedback that I get about the kind of mother that I am, it's a slippery slope. If I start to look at my successes and my failures as a measure of my identity, that's when we get into trouble. But if I can take that step back into my loving presence, into that place that is ageless, timeless, has no identity, is the center of all that is, if I step back into that place where I'm more observing my life than actually being my life, I can see that my role as mother is simply that, my role as mother. It's neither good nor bad. It's an experience that I'm having through the interaction with two children that I've brought into this world. It's when I start looking at each individual situation, when I look at, you know, maybe certain things about my kids the way they are now and judging myself based on who they are. Who they are is who they are. It's got nothing to do with me. I mean, you can raise 6 kids in the same family and each one will be totally different, which tells me that it's got nothing to do with me as a mother as much as it has to do with the choices that they make. So if I judge myself, if I judge my role, then I'm putting too much power, I'm giving too much power to the good, the bad, and the ugly, instead of just accepting that role as what it is, a role I've played as part of the experience that loving presence is having in this human environment. I hope that makes sense because it can get a little deep and it can get a little complicated in the explanation, but I hope that makes sense.
I like the way that you put that, and absolutely to expand some of the things that you said, I really like how you brought the idea of roles and how we have different roles in our lives and how sometimes we become so concerned with how we look in those roles, not only to other people, but like you brought up, our own self-judgment of ourselves in those roles. And we can drive ourselves crazy. We constantly think about it, and we're constantly, it causes so much stress when we feel that the identity that we want to put out there, and for what, if we do something and we judge it as being not good, or we judge it as being great, which could also be, you know, there's pride in there too. You know, there's arrogance and so on. But when our identity isn't, like the projected identity isn't what we feel is our behavior is matching, or our results are matching, or what other people think our results are matching, and we start getting in this game where we start thinking about what other people think, you know, we start thinking about how do I feel about it, and how do I change it so that other people can think that I am this certain way, and it's just a massive use of energy and thought that could obviously be used in much more abundant ways, like we talked about off the top of the show, in much more life-giving ways. But we spend our time in these stories and these dramas thinking that we are either great or thinking that we're inferior. And I love the way that you put, you know, we're giving too much power to the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know, all of it. You know, we're giving too much power to the results. We're giving too much power to trying to prop up something that we're trying to make exist that doesn't exist, you know. Having our identity is just rooted in our being, you know, of showing up with loving presence. It takes so much weight off of our shoulders. It takes so much pressure out of our lives. And we can just show up and be loving to other people and know that it will take care of itself. You know, there isn't a whole heck of a lot we have to do in this world. And you start boiling it down, you know, you know, like we said before on the show, it's just all you gotta do is make more money than you spend, you know. And outside of that, you know, just be a loving person, and life will be beautiful. You know, we don't have to worry so much about all the balls that we think that we have in the air that are just make believe balls that we're just make believing, juggling them so that we can impress. You know, this make believe idea of impress other people so that they can think that we're worthy, so that we can think that we're worthy. And it's just this entire game that doesn't actually exist, and it doesn't serve us.
Yeah, I agree. It's like, you know, we put out there that the world needs to prove to us that we're worthy. So why not skip the middleman and just feel worthy? Because yeah. From that place of feeling worthy and loved and whole, we can be in the world the ideal person that we want to be. We can be the good mother. We can be the good wife, the good daughter, the good whatever. We can be all that we are in each of those roles if we just allow ourselves to feel worthy. There's not a lot to do to get to that place. It's just to believe it, just to know it, just to feel that love within us that is that loving presence, and to live from that place.
Yeah. It's really important to, you know, and it's not like, you know, when we struggle with this, you know, it wasn't, when I struggled with this as a preteen, into my adulthood, it's also, you know, judging ourselves that, oh, I shouldn't be suffering for this, you know, it doesn't matter. And we need to be nice to ourselves and forgive ourselves and realize that, like, it's not necessarily, you know, our fault. Once we become aware of it, then yes, we can choose, and we can choose to sit in the victimhood of it, or we can choose anew, you know. And, it is important to realize that we've been taught this and reinforced this over and over and over again through all the society structures, you know, whether it be parents or schooling or television or advertising. You know, we've been taught that our value stems from our grades, from finding somebody to marry, finding somebody great to marry, from having a nice house, you know, to getting good grades and getting a good job, you know, to being handsome or pretty or to being skinny. All these things have all been taught to us are ways to value and judge ourselves. And if we can pull ourselves out of the story of society, of our place in it, and realize and go within to ask ourselves the questions, when you say to know, just skip the middleman, you don't need society's values to determine our value. You know, yes, it's important to do, you know, well in the things that you put your mind to, but if you just keep showing up lovingly, you'll find that you do a lot more things that are good for you. You know, a lot of the time that we do things that are bad for us are because we're believing that we're inferior, that we believe that we need to do, you know, something that we're not doing, and then we get this bad energy, and it reinforces, and then we take on poor behaviors, and then we lash out, and we're short with ourselves and short with others, and then none of it serves us to get out of it, you know. It's pulling back the power from what's outside of you and putting it back into yourself and realizing that you have all the answers, and by getting quiet and going within, you can come up with what's important to you. And it's very easy to do the things that are important to you when you're not worried about everything else on the outside. You know, it's truly what it is that you want to do. And so then you do it, and you do it with an open heart, and you do it in a much less judgmental manner, and you just live. And there's nothing else to do here, you know, in this life. You know, we don't have to do any of those other things. You know, all you have to do, you know, is feel the impulse, feel the loving impulse inside of you, and act on it. You know, no judgment, no scorecard. You know, just come out and love people, love yourself, love the person in the mirror, you know, and love the people you come in contact with. And it would be a beautiful life to achieve that for 70 years. You know, just you can just even imagine all the manifestations of how what take place in your life if you believe that, if you came from there in every moment of every day.
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned about the doing. And I think, you know, people say, well, if I don't do, I'm going to sit on a park bench and just do nothing for the rest of my life. And that's really not the point. The point is that when you let go of doing and achieving and accomplishing and giving, you know, for whatever reasons that you need to do it, there's a bit of a push behind that, and it's a force. Whereas if you let go of the need to accomplish and achieve and do and be busy and sort of create this status of important person through your busyness or what you've achieved or whatever it is, when we let go of that and we just go inside, like you said, look in the mirror and love the person that we see there, everything else, everything that's done from that perspective is done without force, without need, without push. It's a flow. That's when you get into that flow of life where you're just doing what comes totally and completely naturally to you. It comes from that loving presence. It doesn't come from a need or a desire or a judgment. It just comes from that loving presence, and it flows, and it's like you're watching it being done, but you're not calculating and figuring and manipulating your life in order to create something that's already living inside you. And that feeling that's the bliss. To me, that's the bliss that everybody's looking for. It's just living this life, but from a different perspective, from a different place. And I much prefer when my life is being lived from that place of loving presence than when I get into that whole ego-driven, unworthy, unloving place that wants to judge and fix and produce and do and push and force. I would much rather just be.
Yeah. It's such a more enjoyable way of living. And we know it to be true. And it is something that we can just opt in or opt out of, you know, this idea that we have to prop all these things up in our lives. And yes, you know, it is important to do things well, you know, but when we feel a whole lot less pressure, we do a whole lot more things that are good for us and good
Absolutely.
For the people around us, you know. And when you're good to the people around you, then your relationships are better. And that, you know, brings you a whole bunch of excellent, you know, feedback and consequence And it just reinforces out into our lives over and over and over again. And it's this whole idea of, you know, people sometimes we get in this idea of thinking of a spiral, you know, is a spiral downwards, you know, like we're spiraling out of control, you know, but there's also a spiral upwards, you know, and constantly doing things that reinforce more good behavior, like, you know, more, you know, yeah, good behavior, you know, ways of light behavior, loving behavior. And, you know, our lives will succeed or they'll fail gradually, then suddenly. And, you know, you can see it take place in yours and other people's lives. It's just a beautiful thing to let go of. And it's unnecessary. And it's not really feeding us, you know, propping up an identity. We worry too much about it. And it stresses us out. And it causes poor relationships, which then stress us out even further. And you can just choose which way to go. And it's something that causes pain, and we can just drop it with virtually no cost. But we just don't, because we don't believe that we can. And that's BS. You can do whatever you like.
Yeah. And you know what? I think when we do finally let go of that and move into that loving presence, that's the point at which we let go of lack and start feeling the abundance,
yes,
of everything, our own abundance. I think it's just so amazing. It's that nurturing again. It's no different than the garden. It's you nurture and you honor and you are amazed and you are so in awe of the beauty of what is growing inside you, and that's the love. And you feel the abundance. You feel the abundance in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really personal to me, you know, as somebody who did struggle with this, and, you know, I can still fall prey to it for sure. You know, I'm a long way from where I was at one point. But when you say that abundance, like, it hits me even with time. You know, I always felt like I didn't have enough time, a lack of time. But letting all the things I felt like I had to do to prop up my identity, I find myself now just in every moment, coming at every moment where I feel this incredible abundance because I get to choose. I get to choose what it is I do next. You know, I get to do it lovingly, and surprisingly, or not surprisingly, you know, you tend to do it really well, you know, when you come at it with love. And things kind of really take care of themselves because you're supported by people, by the universe. You know, you're supporting yourself in your relationship with yourself by being like this, by being kind and being light, and just dropping a massive stress-causing behavior that's unnecessary.
Yeah, well said. Very well said.
I know we're down to our last couple of minutes, and the show's just flying by for me. But if you would finish us off with our, I know, if you would finish off with the meditation, it would be a perfect ending to the show. Thanks, Bettina.
I will. And before I start, I was really excited this week because on Monday, my meditation CDs arrived, the ones I ordered for, you know, hard copies. They arrived, and it was so exciting to open the box and see the finished product. So I just had to say that.
That's fantastic. It's fantastic.
Now let's meditate. Let's close our eyes and take a deep breath. And as you breathe, bring yourself down into yourself and into that place within you that knows your value, knows your worthiness, knows the loving presence that you are. And in this place, all else drops away. The roles you play, the identities that you take on, the needs, the wants, the push, the force, the desperateness, all this drops away, and all that's left within you is this loving presence that only desires to show up each day in your life and to guide you and show you the way to a loving, peaceful, and blissful life. Allow yourself to let go of the wheel and allow loving presence to show you the way. It's far more rewarding. You will feel your abundance in every area of your life, and you will no longer have to act from lack or neediness, and you can be for everyone around you this beautiful source of love, this beautiful example of what loving presence truly is. You are able to make this choice in every moment of every day, and whenever you've made a choice to be anything other than loving presence, forgive yourself and know that in the next moment you can shift back to loving presence and be who you are all over again. And when you're ready, wiggle your fingers and your toes and bring yourself back to the world.
Thank you, Bettina.
You're welcome.
You know, when I get feedback from the show, sometimes it's so nice when people, you know, like the way that we finish it off with the meditation, because even if you do meditate in your regular life, you know, having the show and listening to it, you know, it just, when you get invited and it's right now, it's very easy to do. And even when you had workshops at your home where we first met, it was you know, you're right there, and so then you do it. Sometimes it can be like a workout. Sometimes when we think about meditation, it's like, oh, I have to set aside 20 minutes, and I have to go and get this prepared and do these things. But, you know, just having it right in front of us is just so wonderful. And to have, I'm so excited for you to have your compilation, you know, done and done professionally and ready to go. So if you like the meditations, the soulconnection.ca, and just download it, put it on your iPod, on your computer, and it's just right there, right in the moment. You know, you can go from thought to meditation in, you know, literally less than 10 seconds.
Yep, you can download it, or you can order a CD if you're old-fashioned like us old people.
Well, thank you so much, Bettina. And we'll see you all next time.
Oh, thank you. Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today on The Soul Connection. Eric Cerrone is a spiritual thinker, listener, and coach. To find out more about Eric, you can go to intelligentoasis.com. Bettina Goodwin is the creator of The Wise Man's Way. The Wise Man's Way, heart-centered living for the modern urban man. For information on products and services, including workshops, group meetings, and one-on-one counseling, please go to thewisemansway.ca. And for more information on living an authentic life, to learn more about Bettina's offerings as a spiritual counselor and Reiki master, please visit thesoulconnection.ca. Thank you for tuning in to The Soul Connection.